10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Discussing everything about the afterlife and spirit world.
Hey, 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 everybody, and welcome to Life After Life with me, Sandy Byrne. And this week, I want to talk to you about what spirits discover by watching over you or watching over us, because let's face it, you're not the only one with loved ones in the spirit world. I have loved ones in the spirit world as well. Okay, so why do they come and visit us? Why do they send us signs? Why do they want to know what's going on for us? Because let's face it, they knew us before they left. So why do they want to spy on us? Why do they want to keep an eye on us? And why do they want to know what's going on for us? Okay. And this is a question because, I mean, it's human nature, and we call it human nature. Therefore, do we see our loved ones as still being human, even though they're over in the spirit world? Okay. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, because we know that part of our experience, part of our life experience, and if you see life as more than just the earth part of life, okay, because we have the spirit life as well, and we come from the spirit life to the earth life, and then we go back to the spirit life. Okay, so part of our experience is here on earth, but it's important to know that that's only part of your experience, because you will return to the spirit life and there will be more life. Okay, it's not the earthly life, but it is life. So we don't just die and go into a black abyss after our physical body passes away. Okay, and let's face it, I know I'm preaching to the converted, because if you don't believe in that, then you're on the wrong podcast. Okay, because here we talk about everything to do with the afterlife. Okay, so we know that life doesn't begin with physical birth and it doesn't end with physical death. That's just the human body dying, but the spirit, the soul, the essence of us that's inside, that continues to live on. Okay, and I always say to people, you know, the only reason that we give birth to babies is because as humans, we're physically unable to give birth to an adult. OK, so our bodies aren't big enough. So we have to give birth to a baby. And when babies arrive, they're very intelligent. They know a lot about life, you know. And I read for a lady a few years ago, and she lost a baby, God love her, and the baby was only 7 or 8 weeks old when she passed into the spirit world. And I remember the baby was telling me a lot about the you know, the nurse that was looking after her in the intensive care unit. She was able to tell me that her sister had come to visit her in the intensive care unit, and God love them, they'd only met once in their lifetimes. And the baby was even able to tell me the color coat that her sister had worn into the hospital to when she was coming to visit her. So, you know, this baby knew all about colors and knew its sister and the sister's name and everything. So babies are very intelligent. Unfortunately, we don't speak to them like they are, and they regress a lot when they arrive here, but they have to be children as well. But my point is that if I have somebody come to me to connect with a child that they lost, maybe through miscarriage or through stillbirth or, God forbid, you know, illness in infancy, you know, they expect to see a child or to hear from a child, even if it's 30 or 40 years down the road. They always envisage this child as a baby. Okay, but we grow up in the spirit world. These children, you know, they grow up, they become adults, they become full, you know, beings, if you like. We can't call them human beings because they're not here on earth, but spirit beings, if you like. So we know that life doesn't begin or end, and we know that life goes on and it continues, and we grow and expand in the spirit world. Okay, so so we know we grow and expand, we still learn and grow as spiritual beings. Okay, so the first thing that we do when we arrive home, and when I say arrive home, I mean come back to spirit, because we know we came from spirit to earth, so we return home from earth to spirit after physical death. The first thing we do when we arrive home is we review our life experiences. Okay, and we talk about this all the time. People talk about their life flashing before their eyes, you know, they talk about viewing, you know, seeing things maybe from different parts of their life, different stages, different eras of their life. And, you know, this happens as well when we cross over to the spirit world. So you've probably heard a lot or read a lot about, you know, meeting with your spirit guides, looking through your life at different life experiences and going through it with them, you know, things you could have done, should have done, you know, things you could have done better or should have done better. You go through all of this when you cross back over to the spiritual life. So it's like a review. It's almost like you've done your years at school and now you're having your exam to know, did you do it well? Okay. So it's a bit like that if you look at it that way. Okay. So we have to go back and review our life experiences when we arrive back to the spirit world. Okay. We have to look back at the choices made, the actions taken, and more importantly, how those choices and actions affected other people around us. Okay, because that's what's important. It doesn't really matter what you do with your own life. Well, it does. It matters a lot what you do with your own life, of course. But the most important thing is that you're not negatively affecting somebody else. Okay, be it animal or human being, you know, we shouldn't have any negative effects. We should leave everything as we found it. And this includes nature. Okay, so spirits, they watch over us here on Earth. They watch how our lives are taking place and they can see through our life, watching our life and watching our choices and experiences and seeing the effect that our choices and experiences have on the people in the world around us. They also, you know, think a lot about their choices and experiences in life and how the same effects or worse effects or better effects would have taken place for them. Okay, so the other important part of that is not only learning from seeing what we do, but seeing who we've become and how any actions or experiences that they had in their lifetime positively or negatively affected our lives. Okay. So for example, okay, parents often come back and they see the consequences of their decisions surrounding their children while they were alive. Okay, so anything that they'd done with their children, any decisions they'd made on behalf of their children, how they treated their children, all kinds of stuff like that. Okay, and they can follow their children from the spirit world to see the full consequences of any of those decisions and any effect that they have on their children or had on their children, had, have, because the decisions they made when they were alive would have had effects on their children at the time. But a lot of them have long ranging consequences that aren't seen until later. So maybe we have a mother looking at a child from the spirit world. And, you know, there may have been, I don't know, something bad that happened, something negative in their relationship. You know, maybe the mother had given the child up for adoption. I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. But there's lots of different things that we can do as mothers that will have effects on our children growing up. So maybe we didn't show our children love, and therefore in years to come when they go on and have children of their own, maybe they don't know how to show love to their children. Okay, so there's lots of consequences of how we treat other people, how we interact with them, the decisions that we make, and the whole lot. Okay. So it's not only for parents and children, okay, because, you know, we have other people in our lives, okay, we've got friends, we've got co-workers, we've got other people in our community, okay, so it's not just family or children, it's the other people that we encounter in our lifetime, okay, and we also get clarity. So when we're in spirit and we're watching down here at what people are doing and the effects of how we lived our lives, we also have clarity on the effects that we've had on a lot of different things. Okay, so for example, as I mentioned there a few minutes ago, nature and climate. Okay, so these are big things in the world today, and we want to know, well, we want to know that we've done some good. Okay, that we've all do our little bit, even if it's just separating the rubbish for the recycling, you know, buying less packaged stuff, all that kind of stuff. Okay, so any little thing that we can do to contribute. I'm not here to go on a soapbox about environmental friendliness. You know all about that just as much, if not more, than I do. But it's just about learning to do your bit so that you don't have any regrets when you go to the spirit world. Are you going to see negative effects on the climate just by your carbon footprint in this world? Okay. So it's important for them to come and see how the long-term effect of these things play out, because from the spirit world, we see this play out. We see it happening in real time, you know, about how we lived our lives. So you might have maybe some leader from the Industrial Revolution, okay, back in the days where factories used to regularly pump smoke out into the environment. So maybe they're looking down now, looking at the effects of how that is affecting us as human beings today. I'm not saying they'll have to go to hell or be punished in the afterlife for it, but of course they'll watch over now and see, you know, what they've done, what was the effect of that. Okay, so all those kind of things, these very important things too. Okay, and you know, by discussing it as well, we're making ourselves aware of it before we actually physically die, you know, which obviously won't be for a long time, we all hope. But, you know, if we learn about it now, then hopefully knowing this will affect positively the way we behave in life, because we can think about the ripple effect of our actions. Okay, we won't see it until we go to the spirit world, and then we'll see it play out in real time. But for now, we can think about, you know, what are the possible outcomes of this? You know, what we always say, what could possibly go wrong? And that's a million things. But if we just think about the little things that we do every day, you know, are you about to snap at somebody who may be walking a thin wire emotionally just at the moment? Okay, so if we take just even 2 seconds to think about it before it comes out of our mouths, maybe, you know, that could be a good thing and something that will have long ranging effects. I just as a by, I was scrolling through TikTok when I couldn't sleep last night, and I came across a video that someone had shared, and it was a guy, he was in the United States, I can't remember the name, but he moved house and he'd forgot to change his address on some subscription thing he had. I think it was like some kind of food or snack thing. It was something to do with food anyway. And he moved and forgot to change the address. So when the delivery driver came, he texted the guy and said, "I'm at your house with your delivery. There's no one in." And the man said, "Oh, you know," he said, "I forgot to change my address. You know what? Just keep it and go and have yourself a nice lunch." And he didn't hear back from the delivery driver till a few hours later. And the delivery driver said, "You know," he said, "when I text you earlier," he said, "and you let me keep the lunch," he said, it's "my brother's anniversary today," he said, "and he's buried not far from where you live. And because of your kindness, I got to go and have lunch with my brother today." Okay. And he said, "I was actually really angry with myself that I hadn't changed the address and that I was going to lose out on this," he said, "but getting that text made it all okay." So just by taking that second and thinking, well, you know what, this isn't the delivery driver's fault, I'll do something nice for him today, that meant the world to the delivery driver, because not only was he taken to a house that was right beside or nearby to the graveyard where his brother was buried, he actually had food now and he was able to go and sit and have his lunch with his brother, which he obviously hadn't done in quite some time. How amazing was that? So just taking a couple of seconds to think about the consequences of what you're about to do can make such a difference to somebody in a split second. Okay, so, you know, I know we're talking about it now, we're very aware. We're not going to be very aware and in the middle of a busy work day think, "Oh, well, how is this going to affect the world?" You know, ad infinitum. And that's not what I'm talking about. It's about the little things that you do on a daily basis. So just give it a thought. Make sure you've got a filter between your brain and your mouth. I don't always have. Hey, I can talk the talk, but I'm not necessarily the best for walking the walk at times. But I try to be more aware. Okay. So we talk a lot about the people that are directly affected. Okay. So it is helpful, okay, for people in spirit to look down and see the effects of what, you know, they've lived out, because, you know, who knows, they may choose to come back to Earth, you know, to be reincarnated. And that is a choice. We might discuss it in a future podcast. But, you know, if they do choose, if they do choose to come back to Earth for another lifetime, you know, they'll want to do these things better. And even though they might not be consciously aware, you know, that this is part of the lesson that they've come back to learn, they might be subconsciously aware. Back there, I mean, our brains, we don't use even 33% of what our brains are capable of doing. So somewhere back there in our mind are all the lessons that we've brought with us from previous lifetimes. So as we go forward, you know, and we go into the spirit world and we look down, we see the consequences of our actions, then hopefully we come back as better people. Okay. But that said, it's not necessarily only the consequences on the people directly affected, okay, by our decisions and our actions. What about the example that we set to? And this is a big topic, guys, because, you know, we set an example not only for our kids, our families, whatever, but we do set examples for other people around us, okay? So when we're young, I remember when I was young, fado, as we say in Ireland, a long time ago, you know, being influenced by my friends' parents, you know, who they were and what they did and how they lived their lives. Okay. Now, I wasn't necessarily, I suppose, you know, affected enough that I changed, you know, who I became or whatever. But I do remember having friends whose mothers were career women. And before I went and did readings full time, I wanted a career. You know, when I went out into the world and I looked for my career, you know, I actually used to work for the Financial Times in London back when I was younger. So I didn't always do readings full time. I wanted this career. I'd seen this around. And those life experiences are something that I wouldn't change for the world. OK, because everything that I did, I was meant to do because I had a lesson to learn along the way. So I was affected by the example of some of those people that I saw growing up. You know, I was affected by the example of my neighbors, my teachers, co-workers throughout my life, fellow students, the people that I babysat for, you know, all of these people affected my life in some way. I would say positively, there's very few people, thankfully, that have affected my life negatively. Everybody has individual experiences. But I think we take a little bit from everybody that we meet. And this is something else that spirit will see when they're in the spirit world. They will see the people, the wider community, the people that they have affected in some way. OK, so don't tell me that the likes of Ted Bundy, you know, hasn't had to or been set a task maybe by his spirit guides to go and follow the lives and see how the children of his victims have turned out, or the brothers and sisters of his victims, or the parents of his victims. You know, these are the wider community that he affected, not just the people whose lives he took. There was a wider community there, a whole and intergenerational, because, okay, so say somebody's life was taken by somebody, Ted Bundy or somebody else. So if they left children or, you know, spouses behind, well, what about those children growing up? You know, they're going to grow up without a mother. Then when they have children of their own, they're not necessarily going to know, you know, how to mother, because they may have just been raised by a single parent. OK, so in my own life, I was raised by a single mother. So, you know, when, you know, my biological dad, when he passes into spirit, will he have to look at the consequences of his decisions? Will he, you know, because it was his choice, obviously, not to be involved in our lives. Will he have to look back and think, you know, OK, well, you know, these two girls grew up without their dad. And thankfully, both of us are in relationships where our children have fathers. But we didn't know what it was like to have a father. I didn't know what it, you know, what fathers should do with their daughters, you know. So, you know, there's a whole knock-on effect there going forward, and this will be part of his spiritual journey. Okay, So it's these kind of things. They're looking out for us, yes, obviously. You know, they love us still. The love doesn't die. We've discussed that many times. But they have a lot to learn from the life that we're living now and the ongoing consequences. Okay, so I didn't have my dad, but my children don't know what it was like to have their granddad in their lives, you know, also. So there's a huge thing there. And I didn't have my father's father in my life either. So there's a whole, you know, thing in there. And we know, I mean, it's not ideal, obviously. I would love to say that I'm a balanced individual, having been raised by a single parent. But, you know, we all know that, you know, children are better grown up with two. And there's so many children in the world today that are missing a parent, either through death, illness, separation, whatever it might be. I'm not making this all about myself. I'm just using it as an example. Okay. So as I was talking about, we're examples to others by our life. Okay. So in your life, you have a relationship maybe with a spouse. Okay. And you're someone will be watching you and saying, okay, well, you know, I want to have that kind of a relationship with somebody when I grow up. Okay. Now, maybe your relationship with your spouse isn't like that. And maybe people are looking at you and saying, I definitely don't want that kind of a relationship. So yes, of course, there's two sides to every coin. But in everything that we do, okay, we may see somebody doing good in our community. And we want to be as inspirational to the people around us as they were to the people around them. Okay, I think our thoughts can all turn to one person that made a difference in our community at some point. Okay. So I'm going to use another example from my life. So we had a guy called Father Tom, as we affectionately call him, Father Fogarty. His official name is a Catholic priest from my community where I grew up. And I grew up in social housing in an estate with lots of other families in the same socioeconomic band as us, I suppose. And, you know, we didn't get to go on holidays. We didn't have an awful lot. I'm not saying we were poor. We didn't have anything to eat. We were lucky. We got to go and visit a family in the UK every summer. But there was a lot of children that didn't even get that. So when Father Tom came to our locality, he started up a summer camp for children. And I'll never forget this summer camp. It was the best. Now, we always had a great community. We had a park, you know, in the center of all the houses, and we used to meet out there every day during the summer and play lots of games and stuff. But this was structured. This was a 2-week camp, and it was only in the local community center and the hurling field and the sports field, you know, by our estate. And it was structured. You had different things to do every day. You were learning things and you got fed there every day, you know, and it was a great thing for our community, because before he came, we didn't have that, you know. And I've my whole life looked up to Father Fogarty as an amazing person and as a kind person, because really, you know, his job probably just entailed to come and say mass for us every week and give us our first Holy Communions and our confessions. But he cared more than just doing that. So he was inspirational to a whole generation of children my age. Okay. And it was amazing. And I hope that someday I could be as inspirational as him, you know. So these are the little things that we remember from our youths grown up, to our lives. So what inspiration are we giving to other people? Is there something positive that you're doing for somebody that when you look down someday from the spirit world, then you can say, look at the effect that that had on that person? Okay. And I'm telling you, for something to have an effect on somebody's life, it doesn't have to be something life changing. Okay. It doesn't have to be. It can be something small, like that delivery driver, the courier driver that I was telling you about, and the man gave him the box of food, okay? And he went to his brother's grave. That's something that he will remember forever. And it was ad hoc, it was a small thing, but he'll remember that forever. And now he'll probably think, okay, whenever I have a delivery in that area, I'm going to pop by my brother's grave and sit down and have a cup of coffee with him or something. Okay. So that changed his life for the better, because he's not just driving past a graveyard thinking of his brother in a cold, lonely grave. He's now spending time with him. So that's amazing. Okay. Now, another reason, okay, why it's important for us as human beings to know that spirit watch over us when they leave is because we're grieving. Okay, we're grieving the loss of them. Okay, and this grief that we display here, and don't hold it in, guys. Cry, you know, be sad, be moody. People will understand, you know, that you're getting used to a loss. But this grief that we show, it's the first sign that our loved ones look down from spirit and see, and they say, I was loved and I will be missed. And this is an important thing too, because we all want to know that we're loved, and we all want to be told, or need to be told, you know, not necessarily on a constant basis, but regularly, every now and then, you know, we want someone to say, well, you know what, you matter in my life. You made a difference in my life. I'm going to miss you. Okay. Don't we all tell somebody that's leaving the workplace, you know what, you'll be missed. Okay. And it's nice for them to hear that. And it's the same in spirit. Okay. So they cross over, they're welcomed by their family in spirit, their spirit guides and everything. And they look over the shoulder to see what they've left behind. And there we are grieving for them. And that's the sign to them of a life well lived. That's so important. Okay. And as I say, and I'm going to say it again, don't hide your grief. Okay. Your grief is an outlet for your love. And that's so important for them to see when they arrive in the spirit world. Okay. Nobody wants to have anybody rejoicing. We might turn around and you might say, well, it's a relief that they're not in pain anymore. But that doesn't mean we're not going to miss them. Okay. Now, the other side of that, we also need to know that they're watching over us, because we need to know that our relationships with them have not ended just because they died physically. Okay. And again, we've mentioned this in previous podcasts. Just because they've died physically, as I said at the beginning, the soul of them, the spirit of them, the essence of who they are, this lives on. Okay. And when that lives on, this is where our love is. Okay. We talk about our heart, because our heart is probably the primary functioning organ in the body. I'll probably get an email from a doctor who says, now actually it's not, it's the brain, but anyway, I have no medical training. But you know, the heart, we always have viewed it as the center of life, pumping the blood, the whole lot. Okay, so this is where we view our love to be, but really your love isn't in your heart. That's ventricles and blood. Okay, it's in our spirit, it's in our soul. Okay, and this is where we keep our love. So therefore, our spirit, our soul, our essence, this is what lives on after physical death. Okay, so if our love was stored in our heart, it would stop when the heart stops beating. But it's not, it's stored in the spiritual part of us. So the love is taken with them. They can still show us love and affection from the spirit world. Okay, so know that because they love us, we've talked about our grief here, and we've talked about the grief being an outlet for love. Okay. So if it's an outlet for love, people that go to spirit, they also have to have an outlet for their love, because they still love us. So they're grieving too. Okay. So they grieve in the spirit world for us because they still love us. Okay. So death doesn't end our relationships with our loved ones. It changes it. It changes it. Okay. It's definitely not the relationship that we envisaged having for a lifetime with them, an earthly lifetime, a spiritual lifetime, an eternity. It's not the relationship we want, but we can't change, you know, the cycle or the rhythm of life. People grow old, they pass on. Unfortunately, this is part of life. And we can't all stay here forever, okay? So someone will go first, believe it or not. In every family, there has to be someone that goes first. That doesn't mean that their love dies with them, okay? But what we can do is work on continuing the relationship with them, okay? So we have to continue. We had a relationship with them in life. We continue that when they die, okay? How? Okay, so you know, everyone is here because they're interested in the afterlife. And the majority of you have had some visit with the medium, some experience. Maybe you've gone to see a show or whatever. You know, you've listened to past podcasts here, maybe about the afterlife. So in previous webinars and podcasts, I've talked a lot about getting signs from spirits. Okay. If you've had a reading with me or another medium, you know, you've had that connection with spirit. You've either taken part in, or maybe you've seen somebody hold a seance. Okay. So we have lots of different ways, and we try lots of different things to get a contact or a connection with people from the spirit world. Okay. This helps us to understand what they are doing and going through in the spirit world. Okay. So it's not just all about us. We like to understand what they're going through as well. Okay. And then once we understand what they're going through, they know that because we're making the effort to do that, that we love them. This is part of the consequence of who they are. So do you see the cycle going on and on? We're reciprocating the love that we've been shown and are still being shown by these people in spirit. Okay. So by knowing what they're going through, we're able to have a new relationship with them. Okay. We're able to act on what they tell us. Okay. So that sounds really nice. But what do I mean by this? Okay. So if you go, say, if you go for a reading to a medium, okay, and they tell you something about your loved one in spirit, and they might say, oh, you know, well, they want you to prune their rose bushes. Or they would really want if you would have a mass said for them, or they don't like your haircut. You know, there's lots of different things that we might be told in a reading that we can take action on afterwards. Okay. And by taking action, you know, or taking advice from them in spirit, well, then we can, you know, that's nourishing our relationship, our ongoing relationship with them. So it's just like, you know, me and my husband here, and he might say, oh, I like your hair like that, or I don't like the color you had your nails painted this time, or whatever it might be. And, you know, I'm going to have that in my mind the next time I go and get my hair done or my nails done. Okay, I don't change my life for him, but of course I like to think that he likes things about me. Okay, so it's the same when you come for a reading in spirit and your mother says to you, oh my God, what have you done for your, with your hair? It's horrible, that color. You know, that's going to be in your mind. And by taking action or bearing that in mind the next time, you're showing your mother that you still care for her, that what she thinks and says still matters. Okay. So for example, I have an example here of a reading that I did once. Okay. A very sad reading, because a lady came to visit me after she lost her husband to suicide. Okay. And in the weeks since he passed, she had been unable to locate a letter, which she in her heart was absolutely convinced that he would have left for her. Okay. So I was able, thankfully, to communicate with her husband in the spirit world. And he was able to tell me somewhere that she should look for this letter when she got home. So when she went home, she went to the place that we'd spoken about, and there she found his letter. Okay, so she was able to find this letter. She was able to read this letter and hopefully get some comfort from it. Okay, and by her coming to communicate with him, it showed him that, that, you know, she still loved him. She still cared. You know, she wasn't angry with him. She just wanted some closure. And I hope that she got closure from having found the letter, because she did ring me to tell me she'd found it, but she hadn't read it at that point. She was going to wait until she had her children tucked up quietly in bed so she could have a read and a cry, you know. And if by any chance she's listening in, I hope that she is okay today. Okay, so on another occasion, okay, I was dealing with a bereaved child who came to contact their father who had passed to spirit, okay? And this person was very, very worried about their mother, who was grieving very hard after the loss of her dad, you know, her mother's husband, her dad. I don't know what to say. Okay, but yeah. So her dad was in the spirit world and her mother was grieving very hard, having lost after the loss of her dad. Okay. And the father came and spoke to the child. And there was no doubt but that I connected with the child. I call her a child. She was a grown adult. Okay. But I connected with the dad. And she left the reading happy. But a few days later, I had a dream. Okay. And I got a connection with the father in that dream. Now, normally when I dream, you know, unless it's a psychic dream, it's normally my own loved ones that come to me. But on this occasion, this girl's dad came back to me in the dream, okay, and gave me some more information to give to his child here, okay? And so basically, he'd given information to the tone of tell them that they need to go and see their mother on Saturday, okay, and not to miss out. Okay, so I rang and gave this information to the person. And they said to me on the phone, okay, obviously they were taken aback by getting the phone call afterwards. And I was really wondering, was I doing the right thing? And the person said to me on the phone that they had intended to have a day out with their mother that Saturday, but because of the pressures of work, they'd had to cancel. So I just said to this person, well, look, your dad visited me last night in my dream and told me that you weren't to miss out, that you were to spend time with your mother on Saturday. So after that, this person rearranged a lot of stuff. And I was wondering, okay, you know, sometimes I get very skeptical about myself and I wonder, you know, am I mad? But anyway, on this occasion, that person rang me back on the Sunday and told me that their mother had passed away in her sleep on the Saturday night. So if they had missed out on the day, the Saturday with the mother, they would have regretted it for the rest of their life. Okay. And there was no indication, this lady was grieving for her husband, but there was no indication or illness to show that she was going to pass, other than the dream that I'd had from the father a few nights before. Okay. So yeah, so that person was able to tell me that, you know, other than that dream, they would have missed out on that time with their mother. And, you know, there's no point in them being eternally grateful to me because I didn't do anything, but eternally grateful to their dad for giving them the heads up. Okay. So these are things that we can get, you know, from readings, but by keeping the relationship going with the people in spirit, because they want to make sure that we have a full life experience and that we don't carry regrets with us. Okay. So this is another reason why they like to be around us, okay? And why is this relationship with our loved ones so special after death, okay? You know, there's a few reasons that I'm going to go through here, but, you know, it's not to say that we didn't have good relationships with them in life, okay? But what we're trying to do here is to enrich the relationships that we have with them in the spirit world, because this is what's going to feed our soul. And this is what's going to help us to make better human beings and therefore better examples to the people around us. Okay. So by nourishing our relationships with our loved ones in spirit, this is going to make us have better relationships with the people that are around us in day-to-day life. Okay. So firstly, okay, from the spirit world, okay, they see us now with a clarity that they never had when they were alive, okay? So when we're alive, when we're on Earth, we see each other through a filter. You can call it a filter, you can call it a lens, you know, you can call it a perspective, you can call it many different things, okay? But as humans, we have different perspectives that are colored by our experiences in life, okay? And this lens, filter, perspective that we're looking through in life, okay, this affects our relationships with the people around us, not just on a once-off basis, but over the course of many years, okay? And some people view the world through, and I'm not saying this necessarily in a negative way, okay, but we're brought up in a particular way. So we may be opinionated on certain topics, okay? Sometimes we have bigoted views based on religious or cultural upbringings. You know, all of these different filters that we attain, or, you know, we gain during our lifetimes, we gain them from the experiences that we've been through. Okay. So, for example, okay, so perhaps you're somebody who loves to travel, okay? And maybe at some stage in your life, you were able to take a year out, or a gap year, as some people like to call it, okay? And you took this time out from your education and you went traveling the world, and you had a lot of experiences, and your social media was buzzing, you know, with these experiences, okay? But maybe you have someone close to you who didn't get to do that, okay? Maybe you have a sister or a brother or a cousin or a good friend or a neighbor or something, someone who watched you experience this. And for one reason or another, they didn't get to do that, okay? There could be many different reasons. It could be financial. There could be health reasons. You know, maybe someone, you know, ended up getting pregnant and starting a family, which isn't a bad thing either, you know, but there may be other reasons why they weren't able to leave home and go traveling. So, you know, they might look at you now through a slight lens of jealousy. Okay. Now, being jealous of you doesn't mean that they can't be happy for you, but of course they're always going to think, well, look at the experience that person has. I would have loved to take a cruise down the Rhine. I would love to have had a hot bath in a geyser in Iceland, you know. So there's lots of things that they might think when they look at you. It doesn't mean that they're evilly jealous and they're going to kill you through jealousy, but they might have that little lens of jealousy that they look, that they view you through, okay, when you come back, okay. But when someday they go to the spirit world, okay, a long time from now, when that person is an old person and they pass to the spirit world, they won't have that filter anymore. You know, they won't look at you as being jealous of all the things you've experienced, because when they get to the spirit world, they can go wherever they like. They can experience whatever they like, you know, because we just have to think ourselves somewhere and we're there. So the filter that they had on them when they were here, that little jealousy, they don't have that jealousy anymore, because now they can travel wherever they want to be. Okay. So when they look at you from the spirit world, they only see somebody who enjoyed life when they could, because you went traveling when you could, you enjoyed every minute of it. And that's all they see now. They don't see anymore, I didn't get to do that, because obviously they can do it every day now. So they're happy for you in the most purest, purest form of happiness. There's no jealousy there at all, okay? So we no longer reflect anything at them that will make them do anything other than encourage us with all their hearts, okay? So no more jealousy or no more bigotry or anything like that when they look at us from the spirit world, okay? So from where they are now, they see us with such a clarity that they know that our, well, they know if our intentions, I should say, because not everybody on earth has pure intentions, but they will know by looking at us from the spirit world, do we have the purest or the clearest of intentions, okay? And they love us wholeheartedly for who and what we are, and not who they'd want us to be, okay? Because when we're here, we kind of have a vision sometimes of the people around us and, you know, what we want from them and who we want them to be, especially maybe if we're parents with children. You know, maybe we want our child to go to college, you know, maybe we want them to go traveling, maybe we want them to be politicians. We all have ideas of who we want our children to be. A lot of people raise their children vegan and then their children start eating meat when they're older, whatever it might be, or vice versa. But I'm not saying either thing is wrong, but children are going to grow up and have their own ideas, okay? So we're not looking at them anymore from the spirit world as the child or the adult that we wanted them to be. We're now just happy for who they are, and we're happy if they're happy. So that lens of what we wanted, it's completely removed, okay? There's no more a filter or an effect or a snapshot. Like we have on Snapchat where we can change our appearance and stuff. There's none of that. Okay. They see us exactly how we are, warts and all. Okay. So also after death, and this is important, and we do talk about it a lot, is that any physical restraints that people have are removed. Okay. So, you know, we talk about it a lot, but we've talked about, you know, if someone's ill in life, okay, are they ill in death? And that's the answer to that is no, because obviously any illness that we have is connected with the physical body, which we don't take to the spirit world with us. Okay. So they don't take those illnesses. And, you know, that carries over, of course, to mental illness, because the mental illness in any case is part of the brain. Okay. Not part of the spirit or the essence of who you are. It's part of the brain. And it doesn't go with you. Okay. Now, different things do go with you, you know, as regards regrets and all that. Okay. But so, for example, okay, an example might make it easier. I have an aunt that passed after suffering 12 years of Alzheimer's. Okay. God rest her soul. And when she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, she deteriorated very, very quickly. Okay. And I think that's probably why everybody noticed so quickly. Her behavior changed very, very quickly. She seemed to, I say fall into it, I don't know what the exact medical term is, but she seemed to fall into this illness very, very quickly. So within a few months, she'd gone being from, you know, the loving, interactive person, sociable person, friendly, nice to everybody, helpful to all person, to not remembering who a lot of us were. Okay, and that happened really, really quickly. So to the majority of us, she was lost for those 12 years before she actually left. Okay, because I remember going in to see her one day and she didn't recognize me and, you know, she got scared. So that made me stay away for her for a bit. Okay, so we've lost those people before they're gone. And, you know, I say it that way, obviously they're not gone, but, you know, who they were, there's a different them. And we always miss and sometimes we even mourn for who they were before they ever leave us. Okay. So, and I know that a lot of you listening will tell me you've experienced the same thing, you know, and unfortunately it happens. Okay. But this condition no longer affects them. They do not have Alzheimer's, dementia, anything of the sort in the spirit world. So once they pass over to the spirit world, there's an immediate release of that confusion, forgetfulness, you know, I don't know what you call mixed upness, if there's such a word. Okay. So they don't have that anymore. And immediately they know who you are. And immediately they want to tell you everything that they weren't able to tell you for those years where they suffered with the Alzheimer's, dementia, whatever situation it may be. Okay. So that filter, you know, that like being a stranger, the filter of the fuzziness or the confusion that they were looking through, that's gone. They're now looking at you and they say, oh, my beautiful daughter, my beautiful niece, my beautiful nephew, whatever. Saying, oh my God, I didn't get to tell him that. I didn't get to enjoy her wedding day with her. I didn't get to see, you know, her baby grow up or whatever. And they want to tell you all these things that they didn't get to tell you when they were living. Okay. And that's part of the experience that we have with them in the spirit world, is making up for that kind of lost time. Okay. So another one that I mentioned just a little while ago that I'm just going to touch on again, because this would be a whole show in itself. But a release of bigoted views. And this is a big thing for a lot of people. OK, so any bigoted views or misconceptions that we may have had in our lives, we lose them immediately when we cross over to the spirit world. OK, so if you have a loved one who's passed to the spirit world, and maybe you had a very strained relationship with them when they were here. Okay. Maybe you had a parent that you felt maybe didn't approve of you because you didn't go to college. Maybe you were in a same-sex relationship and you had a religious family who didn't think it was appropriate. Or maybe you were looking after a loved one before death, but because of the illness, they criticized everything that you did for them and they never said thank you for any of those years. Okay. Well, know now, and from here on, never let there be any confusion. Those filters that they looked at you through, the religious thing, the expectations, the illness, whatever they were looking at you through, that's removed now. And they look at you in a completely different way. They look at you as being happy for who you are, okay? Not spending your life regretting maybe the way they treated you, maybe the strained relationship that you had with them, or the fact that they didn't say thank you. Because these are regrets that they have to deal with in the spirit world. But they want you to know, and they want to see that they haven't ruined your life by making that bad choice in the human physical life, okay? So I know that's a very short thing, and I know with that bigoted and religious one, I know we all have somebody in the spirit world that we may have felt, you know, weren't our biggest cheerleader here on earth, but it doesn't mean that they don't love you, okay? So please know that they're looking at you in a different way. You may have decided, you know, that they weren't to be part of your life, and that you're not going to, you know, let any of their ideas or their intentions or whatever ruin your life going forward. And that's the way it should be. But know that they're now looking at you from a different angle, okay? And I do remember not long ago, I read for a lady who'd lost her husband, and like, she loved him to bits and pieces, but she was under no illusions but that he was a stubborn creator when he was alive, okay? And she said to me, he makes himself sound like an angel, you know, in the spirit world, but this way that he's coming across now, this is who he really is when he takes away any filter. So he may have been stubborn and difficult to deal with, maybe because of a situation that he dealt with in childhood or whatever. And this was the filter through which he saw and treated everybody else around him. And now that that's removed, he can go back to be the pure-hearted person that he always really was underneath. Okay. So the other thing that I want to touch on before I stop yapping and driving you demented is that the communications that we send to the spirit world are very clear. Okay, we come to them, and, you know, whether we're with a medium or on our own or whatever, we can talk to them and they can hear us. So there's no breakdown in communication. They know exactly what we're telling them or showing them or whatever. They also know what we're saying, doing, thinking, whatever. Unfortunately, the communication from them to us can be a little bit more sketchy, okay? Not just because they're speaking through a translator, a medium, okay? But because that even if you do visit a medium, you don't always feel like you can ask the personal questions that you want to ask them, okay? Therefore, a lot of what you get from spirit, it can be in signs that they send you, songs, butterflies, birds, whatever it might be. It could be in your intuition, a feeling, or it could be in a thought, or as I said before, a dream, okay? So a lot of the personal things that you want to ask, a lot of people come to me and they're too embarrassed to ask, you know, or they might have maybe a parent or a grandparent in spirit that would be very old-fashioned, and, you know, maybe even though they want to know what their, you know, loved one thinks about maybe their relationship with their new partner or whatever, they might be too embarrassed to ask me that question, okay? Because I might be worried what I think. I generally don't think about these things because it's none of my business, but, you know, they might be embarrassed to ask it. But what a lot of people do too is maybe they say to, you know, a loved one before they come for a reading, you know, if you think that I made a good decision by moving in with my partner, you know, mention my dog or something. You know, sometimes people have these, you know, signals made up so that they know what's being spoken about. But sometimes then you'd have people that will just ask out, okay? But it does, obviously, you know, people's shyness or inability or whatever to ask the questions that they want to ask, that obviously affects the translation, because if someone's shy in life, they're shy in spirit too. So if your mother wouldn't have spoken to a stranger, you have to remember that your medium is a stranger, and it's going to be more difficult for her to come out with all your private information to a stranger, okay? So it can make the communication from the spirit side a little bit more sketchy, but generally we get the questions answered that we need answered. Okay. Oh, so you've listened to me a lot. I hope that some of the information that we've discussed here will help you going forward. Okay, that's the only reason that I'm here, not to preach at you, but hopefully to give you a little indication of, you know, some ways that you can improve your relationship with your loved ones in the spirit world. And I hope that, you know, after listening to this today, that you feel enthused to start a conversation with your loved ones in spirit. That you're able to talk openly and frankly with them, knowing that, you know, that they can hear you and they know what you're saying to them, but that they know your thinking behind it. You know, is it coming from your pure side, your heart? Okay, is it, you know, with good intention or whatever? And once they know that you're approaching them with the greatest of love and openness and clarity, you know, that's all that they want, really. Okay. Acknowledge them. Tell them, I know that you're watching me. Okay. I know you've got my back. And I know that you'll encourage me with everything I do. But also, and I'll leave you with this, always, always, always recognize that they're not only paying lip service to their good intentions, they're 100% showing you love and honesty. Okay, so they're 100% behind you in everything that you do. And remember, they just want you to be happy. That's all. They want your happiness more than anything. Okay, so I hope that helps. Okay, you can leave a comment here or you can come onto my social media on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You'll find all the links in my bio here on Podbean. And I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. And if you have any topic that you've ever wondered about with regards to the afterlife or mediumship or the spirit world, please do get in contact with me and we'll schedule that topic down for a future show. So for now, guys, thank you. And I look forward to seeing you in the next episode.
Discussing everything about the afterlife.